So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Today we're going to talk with you about everyday things that you and I find in our homes that can create real health problems for us. Tube of glue in the kitchen drawer, a bottle of bleach in the laundry room, maybe a rayon scarf on a closet shelf. All those things, according to our guest, Dr. Paul Blanc, can create problems. And we'll be visiting with him about those products and about his book, How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. And I'm pleased to be able to talk with him, and also happy to talk with Jim Packard. And Jim, got some great deals going this particular hour, don't we?
Indeed we do, Larry. We've got a goal of $8,000 for this hour, and to help us make the goal, we have had a very enlightened anonymous donor pledge $2,500. For the first $2,500 that comes in from now, from this point forward, will be matched by that person. So your $120 pledge will turn out to be $240 as far as Wisconsin Public Radio is concerned. It'll make your dollar go that much further. And so we think this is an ideal time for you to make a decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio. And when you do, the number is 800-383-9772. And with a $120 pledge, we'll send along Dr. Blanc's book, How Everyday Products Make People Sick. We met Dr. Blanc over the phones and did a show with him, within the last 2 months, I believe.
Yeah, and we had such a
great response to it that we thought that this is a book that people would really like to have, that when they get it, there's a lot of information inside there. He is an environmental occupational physician, and so he knows an awful lot about the toxins at home and the workplace. And so that would be available to you with that $120 pledge. Not only that, though, they would also get the member benefit card, Larry.
And not only that, but that $120 would translate into $240 because you'd be leveraging your pledge. So we certainly don't want to let that $2,500 go. We actually have a goal of, for this particular hour, I think it's
$8,000
for the hour. So this $2,500 gets us going in the right direction, that's for sure. One of the ways that you could really leverage your contribution and really put a dent in that $2,500 is to contribute $1,200, and then you're invited to go on our cruise of ideas. On June 30th,
exactly.
we'll be leaving the shores of beautiful Lake Monona right near my home. And Gene Faraca, myself, Joy Cardine, will be with you to have lunch on the boat. Then afterwards, we'll have a reception at my home. Renee's making some great desserts. We've had a nice response to it, and tickets are limited. So
tickets were limited to 25 couples as we started. I understand right now there is something like 18 pairs that
something
are left.
Like
so
that.
You can see that this is going fast, and so you should make up your mind if you would like to be aboard for a grand occasion with a Holy Trinity, as I like to refer to. Larry, you, Gene, and Joy, and a number of other Wisconsin Public Radio people will be there as well. And, of course, you've got the company of like-minded people who enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio and support it, as you will do, too, at 800-383-9772. Or you don't have to talk to anybody if you go to WPR.org and you can make your pledge there.
And that'll make the money go a little bit further. And, you know, you can pay in installments if you want to. We'll have the payroll deduction deal going. Some people like to pay by credit card. We actually pay a lot of things by credit card, but then we always pay our monthly bill. And that way we get air miles. And so we've been using our credit card that way. Maybe that's the way you use your credit card as well. Well, what a great way to do it right now with a $1,200 contribution, or maybe $120 contribution. That's 10 bucks a month. And we'll send you a copy of Dr. Blanc's book, How Everyday Products Make You Sick. You'll be also receiving the member benefit card, and you'll know that you have supported a program here that you've come to listen to and enjoy. Maybe you're a first-time contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. Probably not a first-time listener, but maybe a first-time contributor. If you've never contributed before, we hope you'll contribute during this program, and $120 would be a great way to start out. And, you know, after a while, I started at lower than $120 on my first contribution, but then, you know, over time, it went up and up, and now I'm a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. And maybe you'll be doing that, too.
What do you have to contribute to join that, Larry?
It's $500 you need to contribute over the during a drive or over the course of the year in order to become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. And 9XM refers to the first station letters.
Transmitter. That's transmitter. Right. The call sign of the first station was 9XM. And Hawaiian music was the first entertainment offered. The weather went out by Morse code, initially. This may be covered in the Wisconsin Public Radio oral exam that will occur on June 30th as well during the party at your house, Larry, because everyone who attends that gathering will be eligible for prizes for knowing the answers to questions about the history of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, I like that Hawaiian music one. That was the first music.
Exactly.
Okay, that'll be one of the questions for one of the fabulous prizes that we're going to offer on the cruise after the cruise is over at our home. When everybody will be eating desserts and drinking wine and so forth. That's for that $1,200 contribution. So if you're planning to contribute $1,200, remember Hawaiian music, and you'll win a prize. But right now, we need your support no matter what the amount. And you can call us at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org and make your contribution. You'll feel great. And I'll feel great, and Jim will feel great as well. Maybe we'll do a little hula. We'll play some Hawaiian music or something, do a little hula. Tell you what, though, I want to talk with our guest today, Dr. Paul Blanc, who's with us by phone. As I mentioned, he's a professor of medicine, holds the endowed chair in occupational and environmental medicine at the University of California in San Francisco. And he's the author of How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. It's published by the University of California Press. We're so pleased to have him back. We had such a great response last time he was on that we just thought we got to bring him back. And so he's with us. And certainly if you have some questions about products around your home or maybe you want to make a comment on it, please feel free to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Dr. Blanc, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, well, great to be back.
I tell you what, maybe for those who didn't hear you the first time around, how did you come to write this book?
Well, you know, in my own work here at the University of California, San Francisco, I both do research and also do clinical work related to occupational and environmental disease. And as I would start to delve deeper into some of the questions that came up regarding specific clinical cases, or related to research I was carrying out, I realized that there was a long past to some of the things that I thought were new problems. And one thing led to another, and I felt it was time to document some of these problems.
Well, I tell you what, as sort of a little tease to start the program, before you we got a hold of you, I mentioned bathroom people gassing themselves with chlorine gas bombs in the bathroom, and then I didn't say what happens or how that happens to occur, and I saved that for you to talk about, and that's one thing you cover in your book.
That's right, and that partly grew out of research we did here where we had low levels of chlorine gas that we were exposing healthy people to and also people with asthma to see if people with asthma would respond at lower levels of exposure, which in fact they did. But that led me to go back and look at some of the work that had been done previously. And this problem with chlorine gas exposure in the home, which occurs most commonly through mixing accidents with regular old household bleach, has been going on for at least 40 years that it's been reported.
So it's a combination of bleach mixed with tile cleaner, something like that?
Well, currently, and this is how things change over time, it used to be that people would be mixing bleach with ammonia-containing household cleaners at a time when ammonia was popular, or ammonia-smelling or containing products were popular cleaning agents. Well, those have fallen out of favor, but what has become increasingly common are all kinds of acid-containing tile cleaners. Some of them are phosphoric acid, some of them are hydrochloric acid, and other acids as well. And when you mix that with hypochlorite bleach, which is just common household bleach, a reaction occurs and chlorine gas is released.
And you don't want that.
No, it's quite irritating and can send people to the hospital, and certain times people even have asthma as a result. And, of course, chlorine gas is very well known because it was a major war gas in World War One. In fact, if you've been following in the New York Times, it's come back into fashion now in bombs used in Iraq, where they're mixing conventional bombs with chlorine gas tanks. I don't exactly know where they're getting the chlorine from, but in any event.
Oh, well, I tell you, we have some callers online with questions for you, so let's take a couple of calls here. Kay in Superior, your turn. Hi, Kay. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. I was reading a book last night. I just finished it. I skimmed it. But it's called Living Green, A Practical Guide to Simple Sustainability by Greg Horn, and I happened to get it free from the community pharmacy in Madison, but I live in Superior. At any rate, in the index or in the references, there's a reference to phthalate toxicity, and then I haven't gone to the website, but it talks about thyroid and connection with phthalates. I have so many issues I could ask you about sodium lauryl sulfate and multiple chemical sensitivities, but I'm going to get off the line because there's too much to talk about here.
Well, let me just make sure. Dr. Blank, you have the...
I think the question related to... The general question actually relates to additives and plastics, where there's been a lot of research over time, and it's really an open research question. The key point, though, is that the plastics that we commonly use and encounter, and there are a variety of different ones, have potential health issues not simply related to the polymers, and in fact generally not related to the polymers, the basic part of the plastic, because by the time that gets into the marketplace, it's already bound together and not very reactive. But the thing that makes most plastics malleable, makes them plastic, if you will, are various additives. Phthalates are just one group of them, and there's been a lot of concern and research over time related to potential health effects of these. But I think the data are still emerging, and it's not something that I addressed in my work. I did talk more about some of the basic issues related to the manufacturing of plastics, in fact, because vinyl chloride, which goes into polyvinyl chloride, was one of the first modern chemicals in the workplace that was shown unequivocally to cause cancer. And it was an interesting link between industrial and consumer exposures, because at that time, vinyl chloride was not only used to manufacture plastic, but was also put into spray cans as a supposedly inert propellant.
Well, Kay, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Paul Blank, our guest today. Dr. Blank is a professor of medicine and is author of How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer. Give us a call if you have a question for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Dr. Paul Blank, professor of medicine, and he holds the endowed chair in occupational and environmental medicine at the University of California in San Francisco. Pleased to have him along. And Dr. Blank, maybe you could go back, and before we go back to the phones, and talk more about how your book is organized. Really a fascinating read to be.
Well, one of the key points that I try to make is that these stories are not new, that they keep happening over and over again, and there's a kind of collective amnesia where a new technology leads to an outbreak of disease or injury. The cause is very quickly identified, but then controls are quite slow to be introduced. And eventually the whole thing simmers down, not because there's no longer a problem, but people stop talking about it, or new technology is introduced which superimposes a different threat. So that's one of the key points that I try to make. And the other is that there's no magic barrier between the workplace and the home. And when people think that it's okay if there's a hazardous manufacturing process, as long as it doesn't touch me where I live, it's really misguided, because eventually everything is connected to everything. And it's just a matter of level of exposure. And that's a key point.
Yeah, and I think you give us lots of good tips for both at home and in the workplace of what we can do to sort of keep ourselves safe from those products.
Yes, and a lot of it is not, unfortunately, something which is amenable to individual activities. In fact, some of these are, or many of these are, societal issues that really need to be handled at a state and national level, and we rely on our regulatory agencies to jump in and help us, and many times they let us down.
Let's go back to the phones. Eric in Waukesha, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
Good.
I just want to say thank you very much for having this program on. It's something that's dear to my heart. Couple quick comments more than questions. As someone that works with, used to work with toxic materials, I became desensitized. And as soon as I broke away from that, it is amazing how you can pick up on the indoor air pollutions from paint and stains and et cetera. I'd like to give a little plug to Safe Building Solutions. They pretty much changed my life within a working situation. Andy Pace has dedicated his life onto putting non-toxic materials out there and recycled products, and it's a phenomenal place. And I just want to thank you guys once again for having this topic on.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. A comment, Dr. Block?
Well, I think that mentioning potentially hazardous building products is an important point, because, again, there's an example where obviously people who work full-time in the construction industry are the most heavily exposed to a whole variety of potential hazards. Now with the promotion of, home wannabe repairers, that we're able to bring some of those same hazards into the home.
Eric, again, I thank you for calling. Paul in New Berlin, it's your turn now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, thank you very much. I just got off the phone with the director for the Regional Planning Commission, and was telling him about a decision that was made down the sewage district in Milwaukee regarding expansion of sewer. And one of the issues that we were identifying were the problems of these toxic substances being basically eliminated, whether it's pharmaceuticals or other type of, well, maybe you could best identify those substances which we flush down, which may not be eliminated by any either aerobic or anaerobic type of private sewage systems, or what is actually eliminated with municipal sewage processing, and what can be done as far as providing the marketplace with alternatives that will not poison our groundwater.
All right, some good questions there. Dr. Blanc?
Well, it's a complicated question, because it concerns both, if I understand the question correctly, both commercial industrial waste and then home waste streams, and clearly the major issue there is likely to be appropriate handling of industrial discharges. And it is true that certainly municipal waste processing systems are not geared up to handle toxic chemical disposal, and clearly disposing of such material down a common drain is actually against the law in most places.
As far as private homes?
And as far as private homes, I'm not aware of data on how much chemical waste originates from homes, but I do know that in recent years, many municipalities have tried to develop user-friendly disposal pathways for people to get rid of old paint and old household hazardous products. People, I think, are becoming more aware of that, but I'm sure there's a long way to go. When I was working on this book and wanted to come up with an appropriate cover image, I commissioned a very talented photographer named Paula Shamley to do an image of sort of common, you know, workplace, common, you know, workroom in a house, you know, your laundry room shelf where all the stuff was. And so she agreed to do this photograph. And afterwards, she told me that it was really scary to her how easy it was for her to put together this prototypical shelf. I mean, basically, she just went to her own house. She borrowed a couple of things from a neighbor, and there she had it.
You know, I'm looking at this cover myself right now, and I'm thinking, I've got a lot of these in my home.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah,
one last question.
Sure.
What means are there to eliminate these? To filter them out, if you have a home, is there any technology to take out some of these pharmaceuticals, these subtler things that go through most fine filters, or what's the best for filtering your water? So if you're retaking up the water from the ground to protect your health,
this is an area that's a bit beyond my specific expertise. I will say that in general, what is relied upon. On large scales are either filtering through sand, believe it or not. That's the oldest technology. But obviously charcoal filtering is often effective for a variety of organic materials. It just you have to be sure if you're using some kind of charcoal filtering system that you change the filter enough that you're not simply putting water through an overloaded matrix.
Yeah. Paul, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. And Molly and Baraboo, it's your turn. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I wondered if Dr. Blanc has any information on dirty electricity and compact fluorescent light bulbs.
No, I don't.
No,
I
don't.
So, what are you actually referring to? I'm curious.
Well, I read an article in a Family Farm Defenders newsletter about dirty electricity, which is, I guess, electricity that isn't used. It comes through the house and then it goes back out through the wires and sort of releases into the environment.
Sort of like stray voltage.
Yeah, and it referred to compact fluorescent light bulbs and dimmer switches and cell phones as three of the biggest contributors to that in the household.
Mm-hmm. It's not something I know anything about. I know that. It is interesting. There are some cultural differences in what people become very concerned about. I know that in Scandinavia, my colleagues in occupational environmental medicine tell me that there's a whole group of people in Scandinavia who believe that their health is adversely affected by electricity in just common household circuitry, that's kind of the equivalent of the some of the mold issues that have been happening in the United States, where perhaps the level of concern outweighs what medical science has been able to show, and it just it varies from place to place what people become hypervigilant about.
Molly, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And you can join in, by the way, too. We have some open lines now, so we can get you on fairly quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give us a call. Talking with Dr. Paul Blanc, professor of medicine at the University of California in San Francisco and author of How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. And let's go to Gary in Ettrick next. Gary, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Say, I used to work for some years in the hog confinement industry.
Ah, yes.
And one of the things we wanted to do was always be biosecure, kill any germs, any bacteria, any viruses. And one of the practices we had in one of the places I worked was every day we would clean and disinfect our hallways with a formaldehyde-based disinfectant.
Yeah.
And what I saw, for me personally, especially in the wintertime when ventilation wasn't very good, I would get really nervous and agitated easily. I couldn't sleep at night. And then I read the safety data sheet. And it had some pretty strong warnings on what this can do to your nervous system as you're exposed to it on a regular basis. Is, I guess, some of the dangers with trying to be biosecure, even in our homes, with antibacteria disinfectants all the time. How much do we have to be careful with those things?
The swine and hog confinement industry is another example, really, of an emerging technology. You don't think about this as being a technology, but in fact, agricultural technology is quite important. And what's happened around the world with these confinement facilities is that they've become breeding grounds for respiratory disease in the people that work in them. And by the way, the use of various kinds of disinfectants, including formaldehyde, is probably only the half of it, because the materials produced by the hogs themselves includes a lot of irritant gases and have been shown to, and organic dust, which have been shown to cause inflammation in the airways and believed to cause asthma as well. So it is an industry which has replaced old-fashioned hog raising in ways in which there was a lot less density of animals and a lot more ventilation with these enclosed structures that have caused a lot of problems. Hmm. And in fact, if you look at the history of silos, it's another similar problem in that the combination of fairly airtight metal silos and then heavily fertilized fodder led to the outbreak of lung disease in the first reported in the mid-1950s in people who were filling silos with fresh
silage.
Hay. Yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've over the years there have been quite a number of deaths in Wisconsin relating to silo gas of people being overcome in the silo.
That's correct, and that is you think, oh well, that must have been around for 1,000 years, but in fact, it's a modern problem.
Yeah,
one of the things that point I'd like to make is that in order with the zeal to create a disease-free environment, sometimes we create a poison environment.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gary. Appreciate it. And Susan and Marinette, it's your turn next. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I was going to mention is that I always read the labels, and I try to buy the least amount of products that I have to, and I use basically baking soda and also vinegar and water to do most of my cleaning. It's amazing what baking soda you can use instead of, like, you know, Comet or other different cleaners. And I also, on all these people who are using all these body soaps with all these fragrance and chemicals for deodorant, I mean, I just use a plain old-fashioned Kirk Castile soap that has just the coconut oil and stuff in it instead of having all the fragrance and everything else, because those chemicals are going directly onto your skin. And I'll just take my comment off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling. Dr. Black?
Well, it is true that the both in industry and in the home, that the best solution to a problem is the substitution of less hazardous materials. And that is a solution to occupational environmental health problems, which is often overlooked, even though it's the simplest. So, yes, if somebody can use soap and water instead of more reactive cleaning substances, that's always a preferable solution.
And I wonder, just along those lines of what Susan brought up, I had read about underarm, some concerns relating to underarm deodorants, the spray or the roll-on type or the rub-on types that if you, especially among women, if I'm not mistaken, are you familiar with any research?
That's not an area that I've done research on. I think it's interesting that the government agency, which of course is in charge of drugs, the FDA is also, it's the agency which deals with cosmetics by and large too, and they've got an awful lot on their plate.
Thanks again, Susan, for calling. Max in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Max.
Thank you so much. Hi to you and to your guest. I have just a quick question. I have recently read that the main ingredient of antibacterial soap that I, if I recall well, should be called triclosan, may in some circumstances be toxic. Is this true?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that chemical, so I can't answer your specific question. I haven't seen, for example, case reports of toxicity arising from use of common soaps. it's quite a bit different. You know, when people have industrial strength additives that for some reason they have access to or use in general. And that highlights one of the big problems with studying some of the lower level environmental exposures that can occur in the community or in the home, is that the exposure levels are low, the exposures are sporadic, and it's difficult often to connect cause and effect. Whereas in industrial or occupational populations where everybody's exposed together and the exposure levels usually are 10 or 100 times higher than what is seen in environmental exposures, we often are able to identify problems. So we look towards people who manufacture materials that later go on to be present in more dilute forms in the public.
Yeah. Max, thank you. Linda in Mount Horeb, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a question on perfumes. I know if you put it on your skin, you're adversely affected, or you're getting the chemicals directly. But if somebody else is wearing something with a perfumey smell, how are they affected by these airborne smells?
Well, it's actually very interesting and complicated. By and large, the effects of smells are that they trigger certain responses. And so sometimes I will see persons with asthma-related problems where what they report responding to are various kinds of smells rather than chemical irritant effects. And a colleague of mine named Dennis Schusterman, who's now at the University of Washington, Seattle, has done a lot of research on this and pointed out that there are pathways where odors trigger certain responses that we have, particularly in people who have experienced previous exposures with illness. So it's not an allergy. Something like what people are familiar with people who eat one peanut and have an anaphylactic reaction.
Yeah.
It's rather a triggered response which shouldn't require treatment with medication, but really helps if people are aware of the mind-body link, really, in a more holistic sense in that patterned response. Mm.
So they're not absorbing the chemicals, they're just having a reaction to something their body remembers from before?
Right, and you know, yes, but not in the way, not in the same sense as an allergy response. And in fact, there are very interesting pathways by which smell, you know, triggers responses in the brain that are probably vestiges of very early systems for warning.
Hmm, interesting. Thanks, Linda. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Reed in Clintonville, you're next. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. My question concerns cryoacrylate glues. I do a lot of work with wood. I've been trying to be responsible about wearing a mask, but perhaps Larry, your guest, could speak to issues of fumes from those glues. And I also have a little problem in the winter as being a potter, that my fingers will oftentimes split open, and I glue them back together with the CA glue.
Uh-huh.
What I'll do is hang up and listen to your responses, because I'm on a cell phone.
All right, thank you.
Well, so, you know, cyanoacrylate glues are part of the whole family of two-part reactive glues.
Super glues, are they?
Super glues and related products. So some of them are acrylates. Some of them are there are methacrylates. There are cyanoacrylates. There are also glues that are isocyanate related. And all of those products, because they're reactive, some of them come as two-part products. Some of them now come as one-part products, but nonetheless are reactive. They're just formulated in a different way. They've come up with a way. Epoxies, I should say, are the sort of first version of some of that. And all of those are capable of inducing sensitization. So it's actually just the opposite of what I was talking about before with odors. These really are allergies in the classic sense of the word, once you're sensitized to it. And those allergies can be manifest by skin responses, by allergic nasal responses, runny nose, or by asthma. And there are a lot of case reports of people developing these problems with these glues. What people, I think, underappreciate is that one of the ways of getting sensitized is not just by inhaling some of these products. And, in fact, for certain of them, it's not so easy to inhale them because they're not as volatile as one might think. People end up inhaling them by inhaling little droplets rather than actual vapors. So whenever someone does something which is more activity which is more likely to make little droplets in the air, the invisible droplets, then there's a possibility for exposure. Mm-hmm. Of course, obviously somebody is spray painting isocyanates. That's the most obvious way of making a wonderful aerosol.
Yeah.
But what is also clear is that you can get sensitized by skin contact and that the sensitization by skin contact can then make you ready to respond by inhalation. So you can sensitize yourself by the skin and then develop asthma when you inhale the material. So absolutely the worst scenario would be having regular exposure, including direct skin contact with the materials. Now, some of these glues actually are used in medical applications in emergency rooms for closing up wounds, but people who get treated very rarely in this way are not very likely to get sensitized. It might be the nurse or physician, if they have skin contact as they're doing it and they do use it every day, are likely to get sensitized. And, in fact, there have been medical applications of some of these products where people have gotten asthma. So the caller says not only does he work with it in an avocation as an artisan or carpenter, but also treats his skin with this material when it cracks. I think that's a really bad idea.
So,
and I think he's lucky that he hasn't gotten sensitized yet. But I would certainly stop the skin application, and if he's using the material cautiously in his carpentry. And with good respiratory protection, I think that that's appropriate.
Okay. Dr. Paul Blanc, our guest today, professor of medicine. He holds the endowed chair in occupational and environmental medicine at the University of California in San Francisco and has authored How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dr. Paul Blanc will be with us up until 12:30 today to talk about how everyday products make people sick, toxins at home and in the workplace. Pleased to have him along, and some great questions coming from our listeners. Jim Packard joining me. And Jim, we're doing fairly well to start our program out here in our pledge drive.
We had a decent flurry to begin the hour, and we're looking for your financial support right now when you pledge at 800-383-9772. We began with a matching grant of $2,500. The first $2,500 that came in the hour would be matched by an anonymous donor. And we have $2,300 of that in-house, so only $200 to go. So with your $200 pledge, you would double that money because we leverage that money in order to help us meet this goal today of $8,000 in the hour. And we are well on our way. And when you pledge at $120 level, we'll be happy to send a copy of the book, How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. And we'll also send you the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card entitling you to two-for-one benefits, two-for-one dining benefits at over 250 restaurants in Wisconsin and surrounding, let's say, Duluth is included as well. And also, there are opportunities for two-for-one entree to various cultural activities around the state. It's a wonderful card. It was introduced within the last 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
And we enjoy it. Larry and I use it a lot. Mm-hmm. And so with your $120 pledge, you'd be able to get back the amount of your pledge and more so over the next year when you pledge at 800-383-9772 or go online at WPR.org.
What a great opportunity here. Dr. Blanc is providing some wonderful information for us today, some great tips and some great information about how these household products can make us sick. And I think a lot of people have come to depend on, you may have come to depend on Wisconsin Public Radio for information like this. And this is the kind of information that we often feature during this program from 11 to 12:30, information on your health, information on your financial health, your regular health, Yeah, information on your garden's health, information on your environment's health. We try to deal with those kinds of issues every day here on the program. These are the kinds of issues we know you appreciate, and you can help us now. We provide the information. I hope you can provide some financial support to us here. And a $120 contribution, you'll get even more information here with the book from Dr. Paul Blanc. It is 367 or 8 pages of information here on how everyday products make people sick. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Says about the book, it's a superb tool for making our homes finally a safe place to raise children and to raise our family. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Highly supports this book. He authored another book, Crimes Against Nature, and is a big supporter of Dr. Blanc's work and of Dr. Blanc's book. You can support the book as well and support Wisconsin Public Radio at the same time with a contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And, Jim, we sold a pair of cruise tickets, too.
Excellent, excellent. So we started with 25 last week, and we're now down to about 17.
16 or 17.
16 or 17. So you can see that they're slipping away. And if you want to join the crew and be part of the boarding party on June 30th for just what promises to be a wonderful afternoon, then why not give us a call with your pledge of $1,200, get you two seats aboard the Cruise of Ideas with the Holy Trinity at 800-383-9772. Larry, I was looking at the contents of the book. Dr. Blanc begins with the forgotten histories of modern regulations and hazards, and then how to evade regulation by some of the work of some of the companies that he elucidates there. We've got good glue, better glue, super glue. We were spending quite a bit of time on glues just before the break. The rising tide of chlorine, going crazy at work, cycles of carbon disulfide poisoning, job fever, inhaling dust and fumes, a section on emerging toxins, and then his conclusions. And he feels this is a book that needed to be written, that it was available maybe in, you know, scattered piles of paper here and there, but nobody had written this book. And so we're thankful that he has, and we hope that you will take this opportunity to get your copy when you call us with your pledge at $120 at 800-383-9772 or go online at WPR.org.
And remember, we don't sell or trade or give away your name. If you know, I made a mistake of joining an organization here not too long ago, Jim, and I have since been deluged by mail from all sorts of other kind of related organizations, and I know right now that they sold my name to somewhere else, and I'm not going to renew my membership in that organization because of it.
Exactly. They have violated your trust, and that's something we have promised over these 90 years that we would not do. We will not rent, sell, give anybody your name or your information. It's with us, and that's the way it should be, because this is an organization of like-minded listeners who appreciate public radio, the impact that it can have on their daily lives. And so if you use Larry's program as a source of information about science and technology and medicine and the environment, then why not support the program and public radio with your pledge at $120 at 800-383-9772.
And you can certainly contribute more than that, or you can contribute less than that. We're at $2,480 right now, and so we're almost up to the $2,500. You can be the person to put us over the top on that. Put us way over the top with a generous contribution at 1-800-383-9772. The cruise is going to be great. Joy Cardine, Gene Faraca, and myself will all be on the cruise. We have great food. I took a look at the menu. It looks just wonderful. Chicken and prime rib and salads of all sorts and drinks, of course. And then back to my home, Renee will be making some wonderful desserts. We'll have some more wine. We'll have some soft drinks. We'll do our Wisconsin Public Radio quiz. We have a history of Wisconsin Public Radio. We gave away a potential, or no, actually, I'm going to ask that. That'll be one of the questions relating to the first music ever heard
on Wisconsin
Public Radio. The Hawaiian music was the first. So write that down, those of you who have already gone the cruise. If you're thinking about getting on the cruise, remember that as well. And the only way to get on the cruise is to call in with a contribution of $1,200. And we have a goal for the hour of $8,000. We got about $5,000 to go now. We just went over the top.
We did.
Thank you.
We accomplished our $2,500 matching grant. So the first $2,500 will be matched by an anonymous donor. And so that's been worth $5,000. But our goal is $8,000. And, Larry, I just wanted to mention a couple of figures that show that it's so important for you to help pay for the operating budget that we have. It costs us about $70,000 to get various NPR programming, including Car Talk and On the Media and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. The NPR dues are more than $680,000 a year.
Ooh.
We're paying for that with those phone calls. The telephone budget for our bureaus around the state of Wisconsin to enable you to be sort of connected with what's going on elsewhere in the state, that's $150,000. Those are a few of the costs that we're paying for with the phone calls that we're asking you to make right now. So why not make your phone call of support at 800-383-9772. If you pledge $120, we'll be glad to send you a copy of Dr. Blanc's book, as well as the member benefit card, which entitles you to two-for-one dining at about 250 restaurants in Wisconsin, Duluth, a few places around the state. Mm-hmm. People who would like to become part of Wisconsin Public Radio but actually live in Minnesota or elsewhere.
And if, of course, if you've contributed the $1,200 and come to the cruise, you'll be dining in luxury aboard our cruise ship. But you probably at some point during the day will be eating somewhere else, or maybe the next day, maybe you're spending the weekend here. Use your member benefit card, because we're certainly going to send that member benefit card along with that $1,200 contribution. We're at $3,040 now, so we've got $4,960 to go to reach our $8,000 goal for this hour. I would really love to make that goal, and the only way we can do it is with your help. Jerry and Monica in Campbellsport phoned in a nice contribution, Jim, and they say they have radio on in about four places all day long, and then they just go from room to room, and Wisconsin Public Radio is there for them.
They're ideal. They're the greatest listeners in the world, and we really appreciate the effort that they put in. And so they have called, and they've put some money behind their willingness to talk to us, and so we're looking for you to do that very thing as well. So why not decide? You can make a pledge. We've got a couple of minutes before noon. Get that pledge in before noon and help us make our $8,000 goal. And if you pledge at $1,200, you'll be aboard the Cruise of Ideas with Larry and Joy and Jean on the 30th of June. It'll be a wonderful opportunity for you to get together with some other like-minded listeners. You really will make friends. I know that off of every one of these parties that we've had, lasting friendships have been made. Because you're an easy guy to like, but with other people who are there as listeners as well.
Well, I know, and you've made great friends with some.
I have, yes.
And have had a chance to dine with people after
that.
That's right. And
we've become friends, and we're still friends.
Yep, still friends. And you're all friends. You're a friend, too, if you're listening in here today. And if you'd like to support Wisconsin Public Radio, this would be the perfect time to do it, to help us reach our goal of $8,000. Give us a call at 1-800-383-9772. Simple concept. You listen and enjoy the program. Listeners support this program. Why not call in right now with a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-383-9772. And, boy, I tell you what, if we could have about three more of those $1,200 pledges, we'd be right there to make our goal. But we could also make that goal with several $120 contributions as well. And, boy, if we had about 20 of those, we'd be in really good shape, Jim Packard.
Yes, we would, Larry Mueller. And they do it at 800-383-9772. The number one reason why you will support Wisconsin Public Radio is because you've come to depend on the service. You enjoy the programming that Larry does. You enjoy hearing other talk hosts. There's such a variety available to you at your fingertips. And the only reason that we're there is because you are helping to pay for our programming. 30% of our operating budget comes from listeners when we ask in drives like this. So take this opportunity to be heard, to be recognized, to help Larry meet this goal of $8,000. You can do it with a $120 pledge, or you can do it with a $1,200 pledge, or you can do it somewhere in between. But it's 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And we've got a couple of minutes to go before noon, and I remind you that Dr. Blanc is with us. He'll be right after the news is over today. He'll be back to answer more questions. We have several callers online waiting to ask him questions, and you'll be able to do that as well. And you'll certainly be able to, if you don't get on, you'll be able to hear what he has to say. But for the meantime, here in this last minute and a half, to help us reach our goal, call in right now at 1-800-383-9772. A great big thanks to our anonymous donor who was just wonderful to give us this little impetus. And I really, really, really appreciate it. I hope she's listening in because I really appreciate it. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Whichever way you choose, please do it right now. Talking about hidden health dangers in our home and at work today with our guest, Dr. Paul Blanc, professor of medicine. He holds the endowed chair in occupational and environmental medicine at the University of California in San Francisco and is the author of How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. And pleasure to have him along. And I tell you what, we'll go right back to the phones and to Debbie in Elkhorn for our next call. Debbie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question has to do with ozone emanating machines that claim to clean the air as well as disinfect and sanitize surfaces that the ozone or whatever it emanates falls upon, and whether that poses a greater risk or less than just ordinary cleaning and disinfecting might.
Well, it does sound a bit like overkill to me. You know, ozone in concentrations that are substantive is quite an irritant and penetrates deep into the lung. We think about the problem of too little ozone up in the atmosphere, which is one issue, but too much ozone near the ground is a big problem in terms of ambient air pollution from photochemical smog, but also in certain industrial applications where it's used as a bleaching agent. It's probably a better alternative than chlorine and chlorine dioxide, but nonetheless, heavy exposure is in the industry is still a lung problem. Oh. So it's hard for me to think of an indication as to why one would need some kind of ozone-generating device in one's home.
All right. Thanks, Debbie. Appreciate it. Gene and Ashland, it's your turn. Hi, Gene.
Hi. One of the latest warnings I heard from a researcher was about an ingredient in our common shampoos, DEA. And I looked on my various labels. Every one of them had DEA in it. And he said that it can be absorbed by the skin, through the skin. And it was found to affect the fast-developing body cells of children from gestation, I suppose, through childhood. Did not seem to affect adults, or not noticeably. Have you heard anything about
this? No, I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry. I wish I could help you, but I really don't.
Hmm. Well, that's one that I haven't heard about either. Well, Dr. Blanc, that's one you might have to look up at some point and take a look at. Thanks a lot for calling. I'm sorry, Gene. Tom in Fitchburg, it's your turn next. Hi, Tom.
Hello. I have a minor seizure disorders and many artificial sense to, let's say, colognes, aftershaves, perfumes, even hand lotions can cause my whole left side of my body to start going numb.
Oh, boy.
And I know other people, you know, to react pretty severely to the same thing.
Dr. Blanc, comment?
No, I think I talked previously about some of the interesting facets of odor-triggered physiologic responses, but I wouldn't want to go beyond that, especially delving into a specific clinical case. You know, it's a very delicate issue, but I certainly don't want to appear to be giving, you know, medical advice over the radio, and certainly not my intent.
No, and but you have observed reactions, as you talked about earlier.
There are some complicated pathways, and you know, including the fact that sometimes sensation of an odor can trigger hyperventilation or overbreathing. And in fact, when we breathe rapidly, that can also induce certain physiologic responses. But I won't comment beyond that here.
Okay, thanks, Tom, for calling. And Kathy in Madison, your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, guys. I have a question about nickel plating. Nickel seems to plate just about everything in our environment, especially costume jewelry. And I've had a nickel sensitivity, allergy, whatever you want to call it, since I was 16 years old, which means that I have to buy the expensive stuff, which is great if it's given to me.
Right.
But it isn't.
Right.
It isn't if I have to buy it myself. Is there anything I can do to reduce my sensitivity?
I am not aware of any desensitization approaches for nickel sensitivity or other sensitivities. And this is a true allergy, and it's a very common one, in fact, that almost every dermatologist is familiar with. And, you know, it's there's just no way around it. The biology of nickel sensitization is not completely understood either. I mean, luckily, nickel is not something that's an essential mineral in our element in our bodies. So it doesn't serve a biological purpose otherwise. And one could always argue that that might be one of the reasons why the body has a tendency to recognize it as a foreign substance.
Hmm.
So I'm afraid you're just... And this is bad news, but you're just going to have to stick with gold, platinum, and silver.
Oh, well, I think I can live with that.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling. Bye-bye. You could join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I wondered about brass. You mentioned brass knobs, you know, the brass knob on the front door as an example. Is that another...
Yeah, here's an example of something which is an issue for people in manufacturing, but has some interesting highlights for people generally, which is that there are a variety of illnesses in the workplace which are identical to 24-hour flu, and they go by various names. People who work in these occupations are familiar with them. But what happens is you have a heavy exposure, particularly on a day back at work after a few days off. You feel okay, and then in the evening you start to get fever and chills and feel like you've got the flu. And then by the next morning you feel okay again. And in the brass industry, it was called the brass shakes. The same exposure occurs when people weld on galvanized steel, because galvanized steel is steel that's covered with a very thin coat of zinc. And brass is made by mixing zinc and copper together.
Oh.
And there's something about zinc oxide fume which stimulates the body's response in this way. Exactly the same kind of illness happens in people in the cotton industry, in cotton weaving and a certain other textile weaving, very early on in the process where the cotton is carded and there's a lot of raw cotton dust, which apparently is contaminated with various bacteria and other substances, and it leads to the same kind of response in the body.
Interesting.
So people who weld, which, you know, is an industrial process, but, for example, I don't think that there's a farmhouse in the United States that doesn't have some welding that goes on.
Yeah.
And when people weld on, you know, those shiny silver fences that are galvanized steel or big trash cans,
yep,
or anything like that, you will generate a fair amount of zinc oxide fume. It's a classic problem in the shipyards because there was a lot of galvanized metal on boats and a variety of other industries.
Interesting. Steve in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, just been around cats all my life, and just in about 6 months ago, I got some hives, and I couldn't figure out why I would get hives at this time in my life, being retired and all that. And so I suspected maybe these new cats, and maybe I got a few scratches here and there from the, and I thought maybe their litter box. And so, but one day we shook the rug out on the deck, and it was kind of, you know, warm and all that and melting, and I noticed a lot of blue coming out of the cat litter. And I'm wondering, would there be dyes in there or something that I might have reacted to?
You know, possibly, although if you say you know that you're allergic to cats?
No, I'm not. I've never been, you know, and I knew that I wasn't in trouble because my throat didn't swell shut or anything, you know, with anything
that. Well, actually, I mean, allergies can take a lot of different forms. But, yeah, I mean, it is possible there was something in there. It also, by the way, is possible to get allergic to any variety of things any time in life. We think of onset of allergies as being a childhood issue, but in fact we know from asthma that starts in the workplace that people can become sensitized to materials way into adulthood and into retirement as well.
Thank you.
And luckily, you know, there for common allergens there are skin tests that can be done easily by an allergist, but you're quite right. If you start getting into more exotic things, it's sometimes very difficult to track down the culprit.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you, Steve. Thanks very much for calling. And Julie and Nina, your turn. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I was wondering if you're familiar with Shakely products. They're being advertised as being non-toxic and safer than others, and I was wondering if you have any information on that.
No, don't. I don't know, and I don't know, and I actually have tried not to particularly get involved in intra-comparisons, particularly by brand names. So but it might be one reason why I can't really tell you.
Thank you very much for calling, Julie. Appreciate your call. Dr. Paul Blanc, professor of medicine at the University of California in San Francisco and author of How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. And one guy who's certainly not toxic is Jim Packard. And Jim, you're looking clean and sprightly today.
Well, I feel a little better, Larry. I did have that cold, and I was feeling toxic a few days ago. But I think I'm on the mend, and part of it's because I've been reading How Everyday Products Make People Sick, Toxins at Home and in the Workplace. And we're willing to send a copy of this to you with your pledge of $120 at 800-383-9772. Or go to WPR.org and make your pledge there safe and secure. This is a great book, and you've had a chance to hear Dr. Blanc, and he certainly has a lot to talk about that is in a form that I don't find elsewhere. So we're glad to get a chance to talk about this book and to send it along. And when you pledge the $120 figure, we'll also send your Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card entitling you to recoup your expenses over the next year, because we'll give you 2-for-1 dining and 2-for-1 admission to various cultural events around the state. So it's a great opportunity to make a pledge and help us meet our goal in this half hour of $5,000.
And I was doing the math on that. If we had, and we have one of those pledges in right now for $120, if we had 41 more, we would be at the $5,000 goal. So let's say 40.
That's right.
Let's go with 40. And 40 contributions of $120, you can be one of those 40 to call in with a contribution of $120. We'll send you a copy of Dr. Blanc's book and the member benefit card, and you'll be on your way to better health in the home and at the workplace, and better dining, and better performances. I think there are 32 performances and attractions as part of the member benefit card. So let's get 40 $120 contributions. You could help us out as well with a $1,200 contribution. We had one of those earlier, and you can join us on our cruise of ideas. Myself, Gene Faraca, and Joy Cardine, great food, lunch on the boat, a reception at my home afterwards, Renee's yummy desserts, great quiz questions, your chance to win fabulous prizes, which we always have some great prizes, yours for a $1,200 contribution. But let's shoot for 40 $120 contributions. Pat in Mount Hope, Can't get this type of programming anywhere else, Pat says, more than just sound bites. It's what I appreciate. If you appreciate this kind of programming with experts like Dr. Paul Blanc, I hope you'll support us during this pledge drive. And what better time to do it than right during this program when you have a chance to pick up a copy of the book for a $120 contribution. It's really a wonderful kind of deal for us to have a book of this quality and to be able to offer it for only a $120 contribution. I really like the book, and I know you're going to like it, too, when you get your copy. Call in now. When you call, you're going to feel great about supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You're going to be happy knowing you're going to be receiving a copy of the book in the mail, How Everyday Products Make People Sick. And you're going to know that you've supported this program from 11 to 12:30 Monday through Friday here on the Ideas Network. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org and make your contribution right now. Any amount is really welcome. You know, we're kind of shooting here for $40, $120 contributions, but you know what? A $1,200 contribution would take care of 10 of those right there, and then we'd only have 30 to go, Jim.
Exactly. So make your call at 800-383-9772. You'll be your call will be answered by someone who's put some money behind their mouth, in this case, because they listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, and come in to answer phones and do other things during the year with other listeners as well and have a lot of fun doing it. So if this sounds like the environment that you'd like to be part of, then why not give us a call of financial support, whether it's $120 to get a copy of How Everyday Products Make People Sick and the 2-for-1 member benefit card, or if you pledge at $1,200 and get two seats aboard the Cruise of Ideas departing Lake Monona June 30th, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on a wonderful trip with Larry and Jean and Joy and other Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. They're wonderful food aboard. I know I was looking again at the lineup of foods that we experienced last year and would look forward to experiencing this year. It's just a great lineup, and you can be part of that with your pledge. $1,200 gets you two seats at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
And then you're automatically a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. At $500 contribution,
right,
gets you there. And so you're a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle, which, I tell you what, it gives you some extra benefits. There are some other opportunities to meet and greet. There are some great meetings that go on. You get some insider looks at things. And, of course, you'll get plenty of insider looks at the cruise, because Joy and Jean and I are ready to just spill our guts and tell everything that goes on behind the scenes.
I'm sorry,
here.
I won't be there to defend myself, Larry, but I'll have to rely on your good taste to save my reputation. But it is going to be a great time, and it's only available when you make your call. You can do it right now at 800-383-9772. We know that you will pledge because you enjoy and rely on Wisconsin Public Radio on a kind of a daily basis. We've heard from people who have 4 radios going in the house. They just go from room to room and know that it's on everywhere. And so if you're that kind of listener, then call with your pledge of financial support. Help us support and meet the goal that we have for $5,000 in this half hour.
And we've got about, if you had about 35 more, we'd be right there with our goal. 35 more calls at the $120 level. We've had 36 more probably. We've had 3 $120 contributions. I know each one was at $120. What about you now? We're down to the last 5 or 6 minutes of this program. It's your, and it's the only time you're going to have a chance to get a copy of the book, by the way. It's your chance to receive a copy of How Everyday Products Make People Sick at that $120 contribution. It's your chance to support this kind of programming. I know this is very popular programming when we're talking about your health. I'm always my ears perk up a little bit too when I hear programs of how my health might be affected by things that happen at the workplace or products that we have at home. And as I looked at the cover of Dr. Blanc's book, I'm seeing so many of the products on the cover of that book that we actually have in the home, or products like them.
Too.
And as he was saying during the show, it didn't. His photographer, the person who did the work, was really disturbed because she started. She got almost everything from her own home to use on the cover of that book. And I think you probably have some of those. Just take a look at the cover of the book, if nothing else, when you get it. And you're going to be surprised at how many of those products really could create some problems either at home or in the workplace or for the companies that actually, for the people who work for the companies that manufacture those products. Lots of great information in there, just as we have, I think, lots of great information every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Information that you can use in your daily life. That's what we really try to strive for during this 11 to 12:30 time slot. With 4 minutes to go, if you've been thinking about it, now's the time to jump off the pier and onto the boat and glide away with us into the sunset and make your contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. And there's another one. We just added another one, Jim Packard.
All right. You know, it's kind of ironic. I was thinking about my first pledge, even before I was working for Wisconsin Public Radio. I was down in my basement, and I was stripping paint from a porch door. And I think the fumes, you know, fumes and not enough ventilation may have influenced my decision to call and pledge and started this whole scenario of me coming to work here and still being a listener 26 years later. And so you don't need that kind of incentive to make your first call, if that indeed is going to be your first call. But why not choose to join us in Wisconsin Public Radio? It's a brief call. It'll just take a minute or two. There's a friendly person there that will talk to you. Or if you go online at WPR.org, you can just simply enter the information. The number is 800-383-9772. Please help us meet this goal of $5,000.
And you won't be parting with your money the very instant you do it. I mean, you can do electronic funds transfer if you want to. That'd be just $10 a month for the $120 contribution. For a lot of people, you wouldn't even notice that.
That's right.
Or you can put it on your credit card, do like I do on a lot of times, and put it on the credit card and then pay it off right away and get the air miles that are offered on my particular card, maybe on your card as well. And maybe you work for a company as well that does matching grants, and I hope you'll remember that too. But whatever the case, now is not the time to tarry because we've got a couple of minutes left and only a couple of minutes for you to receive a copy of the book, How Everyday Products Make People Sick, at a $120 contribution. And we could still use, about 30 more of those $120 calls to make our goal here. So give us a call at 1-800-383-9772. Thanks for that call. And go online to WPR.org.
You know, the cost of having reporters in our various bureaus around the state is $1,800 a day. NPR programming that will be coming up on Talk of the Nation is $67 an hour. So with your call of $120, you'll be paying for just about 2 hours of Talk of the Nation, which will be coming up after Chapter a Day. But right now, we want to make sure that you're counted in the listeners to Larry Mueller's program and the supporters as well at 800-383-9772. We would really love to hear from you. There are so many options for paying for a pledge. You can do it in cash. You can do it in installments. You can do it on electronic funds transfer or payroll deduction. There are options available to you. But it starts with a call, so call us at 800-383-9772.
10 more calls, or 10 more $120 or $1,200 contributions to make that are left for our cruise of ideas. You can still help us out, 1-800-383-9772, or go to WPR.org. And thanks to everybody who contributed. Thanks to Dr. Paul Block. I really appreciate it very much. And there's still time to contribute during this hour. Please stay with us here on the Ideas Network.